Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company. Serving collectors since 1945.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone, and congratulations. You are back with District Baseball, and I know I say this a lot, but we have an absolutely jam-packed episode for you today. Not only is ranking season continuing with this episode, we are covering two positions today, a little buy one, get one action, two for one deal, as we are tackling middle infield. We're going second base and shortstop today. I will preface this by saying we're not going to be touching on any of the other news. That'll probably be covered in another episode just for time constraints. But the Orioles were sold. That obviously affects the Nats in some regard. Be sure to check out District on Deck for my latest thoughts on that. We'll touch on some of the free agent signings and the free agents that are left later on. But today is just rankings, and we have two positions to get to, so I'm very excited to do so. Trey, what's going on, my friend?
Nick, we're jamming it all together for the middle infield. Shortstop, second
absolutely
base.
Absolutely.
Let's go. They are two of my favorite positions on the diamond, two of the most important positions on the diamond, in my opinion.
Yep.
And I think – yeah, what'd you got?
I was just going to say, like, for the first time while I'm in the business of prefacing things, it feels like for the first time since we've been doing these rankings, even before we were doing them, it was kind of just understood that the shortstop talent was just like so deep. And now look, like doing these rankings, especially both in the same episode, I am much more like invested in the second base depth than I am the shortstop depth.
Well,
at second base is insane.
Yeah. I mentioned to you that it was tough to rank second baseman after the top seven,
pretty standard,
you know, pretty standard. But I mean, yeah, depth wise, it's tough. There's some guys that we had to leave off that are definitely probably deserving of getting some recognition. And yeah, shortstop was easier to rank this year. It was interesting. Both these positions are super important. So we're going to be going through our 1 through 5 choices for each, and then giving you our 6 through 10 kind of all together. So we'll start with second base. And I guess we'll just start at one. So at number one,
we have
Mookie Betts, another position change. We had Bryce Harper last week, and now we have Mookie Betts as a second baseman. How about that? Now, he played some second base last year, but he's more of a super utility guy, you could say. He played right field and second base. And I think he had a couple starts at shortstop as well, if I'm not mistaken.
He did. He sure did.
Yeah. So
more than a couple, actually.
Yeah. Very interesting. He's got the positional versatility, but they've kind of locked him in as a second baseman. So, Nick, I know this is your guy. So what do you think about that?
I love Mookie Betts. Just like one of my favorite players in ever. I'm trying to pull up his splits to see exactly how many games he played at shortstop. But the fact that he's a Gold Glove right fielder, arguably the best right fielder in the league, and they're like, it would technically be displacing someone, like a position change. Like it's this big deal. It completely affects their future, whatever. I'm not concerned about Mookie switching positions at all. Okay. In fact, I'm actually going to double down on this. All right. I have it pulled up. 14 games at shortstop. So smaller than I thought,
games,
but still
enough.
He had 65 games at second, 98 in right field. But still, like, compared to right field, which is obviously his normal position, That's a significant amount of games at second base. And obviously he did very, very well. Like he was one of the better defensive guys at second base, which is kind of crazy.
Insane.
I'm going to double down on this though. Mookie Betts will win the Gold Glove this year at second base.
Ooh, okay.
No doubt in my mind about it. And there's some great defenders at second base. Like it's not like first base where there aren't really, you know, defensive guys. There are some studs defensively at second base. Even the guys that don't hit, Mookie's going to outshine them all. He's winning Gold Glove.
Well, I tell you what, you know, the Gold Glove award isn't also isn't entirely based on
full defense. That's why I'm fine doubling down on it.
Yes. So I also think he can be an elite defender. Will he be the best and maybe the Gold Glove worthy candidate? Maybe not, but because he's Mookie Betts and he'll be probably in the MVP conversation. Yeah, right. I could see him getting that award. But yeah, he's not going to have any issue at second base. He was great there last year when he played, and he's just going to get better as he gets more reps, I think. So yeah, he's pretty clearly the number one after last year. The clear number one to me before last year was Jose Altuve, who comes in at number two for us. And now with Mookie moving in, it makes it a lot harder. You can't really say that Altuve is better than Mookie Betts. So, but at number two, Altuve still sits there, even though he's getting into his 30s as well. He's had some injuries, but it hasn't slowed him down at all.
He's 34, dude.
I know. It's pretty crazy.
It's kind of nuts.
It feels like he's been around for 30 years, and yet he's only 34, but that's still technically getting older in baseball. So, you know, whatever. Yeah, but he
AARP.
He was great in his shortened season last year after he actually took an injury in the World Baseball Classic. But when he came back, I mean, it was unreal. He was
business
great.
As usual.
Business as usual. Great all year. Excellent in the playoffs. Nothing's different. He's still this good. So I don't see any reason to move him down.
I was actually shocked to see how few WAR he had racked up in his career. Only 49.3. I would have thought for sure he's at like 60 at this point.
He had a slow start to his career. Like he definitely struggled to get out of the gate, but yeah.
I mean,
I get what you're saying.
Not really. I mean, maybe power-wise, yeah. His power came later. Wink wink, nudge nudge. but like, I mean, his first full season he hit 290 with a 740 OPS. And then 2 years later, he had his first all-star appearance. Second all-star appearance, but 341 and 830 OPS. Like
there wasn't much
of growing pains with Jose Altuve, and that was over 10 years ago.
Yeah, that 2020 is actually hurting him a lot because he was bad. So he had
brought
zero.
Everything down.
Yeah, he had like zero WAR. So that just like was basically a lost season. I mean, there's a lost season for a lot of guys, but also, you know, some guys got a good sample size from that. Got a good.
Yeah. I'll keep it short and sweet with Altuve. It's just like, I'm going to keep him here until I have reason otherwise.
Yeah.
Until
at this point, he's locked in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Until he actually starts looking older. Yeah.
Right. You and I had the same 1, 2, 3, number three being Marcus Semien, mm-hmm. who we'll touch on here in a second. But like, until Altuve sucks or there's a clear sign of regression or major injury or whatever, like he came back from injury and was just as good.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, he looked identical. Like he never slowed down.
Right. So it's like, I can't, there's no injury concern because he came back and was as good as ever. So mm-hmm. it's like there's a case for him to be number one. If you want to argue the sample size debate with Mookie Betts, I think it's kind of futile. Cause like we have 65 games. Mookie Betts was excellent at second base, but like Altuve is very, very like top tier second baseman. So he's there until further notice.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mentioning our number three choice is Marcus Semien. I got to give us some credit.
Victory lap, baby.
Because I tell you
what.
It's
going to be a big victory lap episode for me.
he had a good season last year. A good season.
He did.
But
everyone was writing him off, though.
Yeah, because his hat wasn't quite there, especially early in the year. And we kept him up in our, I think he was our third or fourth. And it paid off. He had an over 6 F4 season. He was Marcus Semien again, and he plays every day. He gives you excellent defense and he gives you a good bat, and his bat was better this year than last year. So it was one of those cases with the second year come up where that's kind of been a thing with some of these free agents where they struggle initially and then they get it going. So Marcus Semien right back in the three spot. And he's going to be, again, another guy who probably until further notice isn't going to be moving until he really shows another decline. But right now, I'm great having him at number three.
And when we touch on shortstops, we're going to touch on like three or four guys that have gone through this. And it's something you and I have talked about a lot. That second year bump is a real, real thing.
It is. I mean, we've been talking about this for like the last three years at this point. Yeah. And it's held true. So,
yes, Semien was excellent. I have no doubts that, he's entering age 33. So there's going to be a natural decline, but I don't think, at least on the front half of that deal, that it's going to turn into an albatross. I think they won the World Series. Like, it's kind of the Patrick Corbin thing.
At this
thing.
Point,
it's like,
they already won.
It's house money at this point. But I'm just going to say this, and I'll move on because I know we're on a time crunch. Otherwise, I would go on a long rant about it. The Rangers signed both Corey Seager and Marcus Semien at a time they had lost over 100 games. And now they were 2-3 in MVP voting last year en route to a World Series championship. You do not have to be an established team to go spend money. You can just go do it. If you spend it wisely, it's going to pay off, and no one's going to remember the bad contract you gave out. No one remembers John Gray or Cole Calhoun, who are also signed in the same offseason by Texas. They're only talking about Corey Seager and Marcus Semien.
Yeah. No notes. I think you nailed it.
Yeah. I will also bring it up when we talk about Corey Seager. So,
of course.
I'll come back to it. All right. Moving on to number four, we get Ketel Marte. And this is where you and I kind of differed a little bit. I had Ketel Marte at four. You had him at four. I had him at six. So why are you high on Ketel Marte?
I mean, he's funny because every time
he's kind of hard to judge.
Yeah, every time I'm high on him, he kind of disappoints me, and every time I'm lower on him, he comes through. Like we were lower on him last year after he had struggled in a full season in 2022, and I think we still had him in our top 10, so we weren't completely out on him, but he was like number 9 or number 8 or something, and then he came out and had an insane season like we thought he was able to do. So I don't know, maybe I'll get burned again, but I just really liked what I saw from him. I liked the defensive improvement. He got back to being a slightly above average defender over there, because he had really, they moved him to center field.
Center field, yeah,
they did some weird stuff with him, and then they docked him back in at second base, and it's kind of working out. So but the bat is obviously insane. Gap to gap power, switch hitter, and he hit more homers last year, and then the playoffs he was amazing. He might have been better than Corbin Carroll in the playoffs. I mean, he was
it gets overlooked,
extremely clutch and extremely good for them. So if he has another season like this year, the D-backs are going to be just fine. Trust me.
Yeah, 140 games last year at second base, whereas the year before, I'm pulling it up right now, he had, my God, there's so many splits. Anyways.
Yeah, 21, like you said, they played him in center a lot. I know.
Yeah, so I'm trying.
It's kind of weird.
So many stats, I'm like losing my spot, but yeah, it's just the consistency. Oh, here we go. Oh, he was hurt a lot in 2022, but anyways, the consistency is a real thing. I talked about the displacement with Mookie and how I don't think it'll affect him. It doesn't mean like it's moving positions, it's not a big deal. That's why guys like Ben Zobrist, Chris Taylor, you know, some of the other Swiss Army knives, they get such big contracts, even though they're not like world beaters, MVP candidates, because it's so rare to find a guy that can play multiple positions at a high level, even two positions at a high level, let alone three, four, some of these guys are playing. So Ketel Marte, while possibly athletic enough to play center field, he was not a center fielder. He clearly wasn't comfortable in center field. Now that he's back to playing his natural position, and obviously having some more support around him with Corbin Carroll, Geraldo Perdomo had a good season, and obviously that's his middle infield teammate. Like you just saw him really settle in and be the guy who we always thought was there. We just, you know, like you said, had ups and downs with Ketel Marte, but like for me, he's comfortably going to sit in this 4-7 range. As high as 4, obviously as low as 7, depending on what some of the other guys do. But like an 800 OPS is kind of where I see him at. And honestly, that's not really, you know, a take, because his career OPS is a 798. And so it's like, you got to take the good with the bad sometimes, because it's not necessarily a linear thing or, you know, a consistent thing. But when Ketel Marte is on, like, he's one of the best second basemen in baseball. So I think it's fitting that he comes in at number four in our list. Moving on to number five, we have honestly another guy that's incredibly difficult to rank, and it kind of just depends what your preferences in a lot of respects. Luis Arraez comes in at number five on our list. I had him looking at this. Oh, we both met at five. Okay, so we were in agreement on that. Part of me wants to put a Luis Arraez higher.
I
want to put stock into the tough out thing and how much of a pain he is to pitch to, which you don't quantify on paper. Yeah, you can look at, you know, the batting average or strikeout percentage or walk percentage or whatever. I mean, he didn't walk a lot, but like, you can look at all those advanced stats, but that truly doesn't tell the picture of how annoying this guy must be to face. And he's only 26 or entering age 27, but like, it's crazy, because he was really, really good in 2022. Then there's the kind of win-win trade with the Twins for Pablo Lopez, and he becomes otherworldly, like something we haven't seen in forever. Like, there was talks about him potentially hitting 400 for a while, and obviously that wasn't sustainable, but like, hitting 354 is nothing to you know.
Yeah, it's not bad.
not bad at all. So yeah, he doesn't hit for power. Yeah, he doesn't steal a lot of bases. Yeah, he's not the best defensively. He's a good defender, but he's not the best defensively. But like, he might be top five, like, most dangerous hitters in baseball. Not in terms of power, but just like a guy you don't want to face.
I can see where you're coming from there from a pitcher's perspective. Like,
yeah,
the guy you circle, like, this guy's going to be the toughest out.
For different reasons. Yeah.
I actually disagree. I think he's not a good defender at all. It's kind of like, that was my issue with him, was that his defense is worse than all the other guys on this list. But I will say, I mean, he hit 354. So it's like,
right.
I'm kind of like in this weird mode where he ends up at five, but I could put him at three, or I could put him at eight. I mean, I don't know. It's like, because I do think second base, you need to have some kind of defensive value. But man, I mean, they're trying to play him at first base too. Like, he's obviously not a second baseman, but it's weird to DH him because he doesn't hit for that much power. So I don't know. Weird player. Definitely tough to rank. Obviously has to be up here because he had such a ridiculous contact hitting season that we haven't seen since basically Tony Gwynn. Using that Tony Gwynn approach. It's tough, but I think I don't have any issue with him at five, but I wouldn't have any issue at eight, or I wouldn't have any issue at three. It just kind of depends on the perspective you take with him. He's an amazing player. And yes, honestly, I got to agree with what you're saying. Might be one of the most annoying outs to get in ball, if not the most annoying.
Yeah, let me qualify my statement. He's not a good defender. He's an adequate defender. That might be a better way to put it, because he was actually better statistically than Ketel Marte at second base, for what it's worth. I don't think either of them are like great, but I think he can play second base.
How much did he DH last year? Does it say
Arraez?
Yeah,
that's a good question. I will pull that up.
Or play first base, because I feel like his defensive value was pretty low. But if he did DH,
according to, I'm looking at the site with like all the defensive stuff. It says he has 134 games played at second base.
Okay, Fangraphs just did not like him, I guess, on defense.
Yeah, I'm not hitching my wagon to the Luis Arraez is a good defender argument. I just think, like, he was fine.
Yeah. And then
I know how I'm kind of like backtracking, but good was a little bit aggressive.
Yeah. I guess what
very excited.
It's still kind of accurate what I said about he's worse than a lot of other guys in this list, but
that's fair. Yeah,
I get what
you're saying. But it kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. There's a lot of good defenders on this list.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're going to rattle off 6 through 10 here and kind of talk about them all at once. Number six on our list, we did not forget him, unlike some other notable outlets. Ozzie Albies comes in at number six, and I think there's an argument for a top five ranking for Ozzie Albies for sure. Ha Sung Kim comes in at number seven. Andres Jimenez, number eight. Nico Horner, which is another victory lap for us, comes in at number nine. And Bryson Stott comes in at number 10. So of the six through 10, Trey, who stands out to you the most?
For me, it's Andres Jimenez. And I think I wanted to talk about him because I think me...
You were high on him last year.
I'll call myself out that it was kind of my call to get him so high in the rankings last year. I was overzealous. There were warning signs there that I should have looked at, and I just wanted to ignore them because he was
still
such a
put up a 5.3 WAR though. It's not like he was terrible.
No, he was excellent, but you know, I should have seen the issues with he wasn't going to hit 141 WRC plus again. I should have saw that, and then in the numbers, he had an inflated on base percentage from being hit by so many pitches. And I kind of just ignored that because I just really like watching him play, but he still retains a top 10 spot because his defense is unreal. And I still think he's probably a true 115, 120 WRC plus kind of guy. I think he does have power that he didn't tap into as much last year that he did tap into the previous year. And I think somewhere in the middle is probably where his true potential is. So if he can put up, you know, 110, 115 WRC plus with his defense, he will be an excellent player once again.
You know, it's funny. It's like, yeah, you mentioned his hit by pitches last year. He had 20 or sorry, hit by pitches in 2022. He had 20 last year, which is only five.
Again,
like dude just gets hit by pitches.
Yeah, he's hanging in there.
Yeah. So if you kind of like average the last 2 years, you're looking at like a 270, 340, you know, 420 slug. So around like a, you know, high 700 OPS.
Yeah. And that's,
you know,
I'm
110, 115.
That.
Yeah. With that defense, like, yeah, he's a top seven second baseman. So I don't think you were wrong for that. I think you were just a little too eager,
too overhyped, and I
he had a great 2022. Like it was excellent. You can't really sugarcoat it.
There was at least a reasonable reason for him to get
reasonable reason
for him to get that high. But yes, I was a little bit too excited.
Yeah. I really don't disagree with you. I think he definitely had a crashing down to earth or like a comeback down to earth season in 2023, but I think it'll kind of even out. He was only 24. Like, I think the consistency doesn't really start to kick in for a lot of guys until like 26, 27. So I think he'll get there, and I'm not too concerned about him. There's other guys like, you know, Bryson Stott. I don't know how sticky he is as a top 10 second baseman, especially with all the talent at the position. Guys like Zach Gelof, who only played the second half of the season. Matt McClain. Yeah. Like guys like that, I could easily see knocking off a few guys on this list. But Andres Jimenez feels like he has a little bit of staying power for me. Ozzie Albies. Yeah. But we'll see how the other guys. I like to see Nico's an interesting one because he's a really, 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 really good second baseman as well, like defensively. I would like to see the offensive numbers kind of increase, which I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that.
And he's not bad. It's just like there's a little bit left to be desired when you're thinking top 10.
I'm not sure that he will be more than like a just slightly above average hitter in his career. Right. He hasn't really shown
any
reason.
But if he hits 280 in a 340 OBP, it's like
he is great. And I'm just saying, I don't know how much he can move up until he shows that offensive potential. Still young guy, still could totally do it. I just don't know if he's ever going to have the power to really progress that. But defensively, he's another unbelievable. That middle infield is crazy. We'll get to the other guy.
He could arguably be the best defensive shortstop.
He was a shortstop until they signed Dansby, who we will get to in the shortstop rankings. But yeah, I think that number 10 spot on the second baseman list is very interchangeable. And
it could change next week.
It could. And honestly, because I was looking at Stott too, and he's another great defender. As a lot of these really good defenders, we just need to see one of them break out with the bat a little bit at that spot, and then we can kind of definitively lock that in.
Yep.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
So, all right, let's move on to our shortstop rankings. We're going to do the same order, 1 through 5, go into a little bit more detail, and then talk about 6 through 10 as a whole. Number one on our list is the aforementioned Corey Seager.
Let me just roll out the red carpet for you.
Thank you. I like to thank not only God, but Jesus for this. Listen, Corey Seager, all the signs were there. It was just, could he stay healthy? Could he stay healthy? And he stayed healthy enough. He cut it close.
Yeah, he wasn't even fully healthy, and he still was the best red stuff.
Right. He definitely cut it close. But, I mean, OPS over 1,000, 390 on base, 33 home runs in, what was it, 120 games?
Yeah.
Something like that. It was, 119. Like, he was otherworldly, obviously, his second World Series MVP, damn near his first MVP if it weren't for, you know, a unicorn named Shohei Ohtani. And it would have been an absolutely crazy victory lap had he beaten Shohei Ohtani for that MVP award. But, yeah, I love Corey Seager. Speaking of second-year bumps, that's going to be a recurring theme throughout this ranking, let alone this show as a whole. As we proceed through ranking seasons. But yeah, it's crazy that the Dodgers, with all of their money and all of the things at their disposal, didn't retain this guy. Maybe it was just because they didn't think he would stay healthy, which is, I think it's a legitimate argument. And, you know, the Rangers, he was healthy in 2022, but the Rangers are already starting to see some of that injury concern. But they won the World Series. He was top two in MVP voting, World Series MVP. It's house money at this point. Corey Seager is the absolute best shortstop in baseball right now.
Yeah, it's just health. That's the only thing. Yep. It's if he's on the field, I don't see.
There's no other knock to his game. No.
Yeah, I mean, and the only knock that you could have made was maybe defensively before, but he's made him
better.
He's way better now, and I don't think you can argue with that anymore. So, I think everything you said is right. If he stays on the field, this guy's going to end up in the Hall of Fame one day.
He had a 170 OPS plus.
Yeah, and then he goes in the playoffs. We didn't even get to that. He goes in the playoffs and just, you said the World Series MVP, but dude.
That kind of buries the lead a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, he was unreal in the playoffs.
Yeah, 1137 OPS in the World Series.
You're not supposed to do that.
No.
It's not supposed to look that easy.
No,
I mean, so yeah, I'm totally with you. Seager, number one, can't deny it.
Yeah, love me some Corey Seager. All right, number two, enter Francisco Lindor, who, maybe it's just the Mets with all of the hype, and then they kind of sold at the deadline and fell into nothingness. Lindor kind of seems overlooked, underrated in some respect. Which is kind of crazy because
he had a great season.
Right. That's how you felt about him in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to the Mets. You think bright lights, big city. And for a while there it was. But again, I guess it's just part of the team he plays on, like as currently constructed. But Lindor is still a top shortstop. And second year bump, like 2021 really sucked. And I think a lot of like public perception is still latching to that 2021 season where he did struggle. But then there's that second year bump,
another one every single time.
And then there was a second year bump, which we saw last year, and he was even better mm-hmm. than what he was in 2022. So, like, and people also forget he was the first one to get that contract and kind of reset the shortstop market. And I think he's going to live up to that just fine because there's no real weakness to this game. He might not be hitting like 40 bombs like some of the other guys on this list, or, you know, he plays great defense. Not trying to diminish that, but like with the talent at the position, you know, there's some really, really good defenders at shortstop. So maybe Lindor gets overlooked in that regard, but like he does everything well. And, you know, again, he's in that Altuve category. It's like until he shows me something over an extended period of time that says like, hey, you shouldn't have him this high, he's going to stay this high for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. It was a quiet, great season because, like you said, after that deadline, I swear no one cared about the Mets.
Yeah.
Except for maybe like the Pete Alonso trade rumors. But then you right. look at the numbers and you're like, okay, here's Lindor, another insane season for him. And I just, second year bump every time. I mean, it's like, every it's time. Literally it's every undefeated. Time. I don't get it, but.
And here the Nats are giving out 1 year deals. So we never see the second year bump. It.
Yeah. But yeah, Lindor also switch hitter. I always forget that. And then he
Me too.
Hits hitting right-handed and hits a bomb off Patrick Corbin or something. And I'm like, oh yeah, he can do that too.
yeah. There's that.
So yeah. And I mean, he's just a consistently great player. And probably will be for years to come. I don't see any reason why he'd slow down. Again, that the beginning of the 2021 season was kind of his like slump, if you will. It wasn't even that bad. And then he's right back to it. So, him at two makes a lot of sense. And I don't think he's going to be moving out of that top three for a while until, like you said, he shows something different.
Especially, and we'll talk about it mainly with the 6 through 10. There's a lot of guys with the arrow trending down. As opposed to trending up. So
yeah, like, and Lindor is just steady.
Right. The competition we thought would be there has either like moved positions like Fernando Tatis, or they're just struggling right now. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if they get a second year bump. Number three on our list is where you and I disagree. And I think you and I will disagree on our kind of profile evaluation of him as well. Dansby Swanson comes in at number three. You had him three. I had him four because like I can't deny how great he is defensively. But I'll just say this and I'll leave it to you. I still do think he's overrated in some respects. I think like if you were doing this tier based rankings, like he's not, I have no inclination to put him top tier. That's just me. I would still take a guy like Trey Turner or Xander Bogaerts or, you know, some of these other guys that we'll talk about over him, even though in my rankings right now, I have Dansby ahead of them.
I think that's fair. For me, second year bump, baby.
yeah, that's
first,
true.
First
that's
year
true.
Last year,
I can't be a hypocrite
he's
about
pretty
it.
Pretty good. And then, you know, maybe he'll get that second year bump. The thing with Swanson is he's such an elite defender at this point that I don't think he needs to be a great hitter. He just needs to put up above average hitting numbers. And he did technically last year. He was more of like baseline average. But if he can, I think he'll probably get back to that 110, 115 WRC plus with his elite defense. And he's a good base runner. He doesn't get a ton of credit for being a good base runner, but he is. And that's something that you should consider with him. Yeah, no, I don't have any issue with him at four. I think what you're saying has some merit with Bogaerts or Turner, because, yeah. Well, again, another two second year bump guys there as well. Yeah, and I just really liked what I saw from Swanson in terms of his plate discipline. He actually really improved his chase and his plate discipline. He walked more. And I like that going forward as something that if he can continue to do that, he's going to see better results with the bat. So that's why I kind of have him there. But it's really interchangeable with those guys at this point. I wouldn't have any issue with Turner at three because he had a great end of the year going into this second year bump. So I could see him having a huge season too.
Yeah.
If you want to talk more about him.
I mean, I hear you. I don't think he's truly a 115 OPS plus kind of guy. I think he's close to 100. Okay, I mean,
that's fair.
Like throughout his career, he's mm-hmm. only had if you want to let's just throw out 2016 because he only played 38 games. Like he only had two seasons of the seven with an OPS above 99. And one of those seasons was the 2020 season where he only played 60 games. So 2022, it was a great time to do it, a walk year, right? Which was arguably his best season. I just didn't think that's who he was. And I'm kind of sticking to that, not out of ignorance or stubbornness, but like a lot of the numbers are the same. The batting average took a big dip. He's still great defensively. Can't deny that. I just don't think there's that next level to his game. So it's like that 2022 season is the best in my mind, it's going to get. I could be proven wrong, and we'll see what the second year bump has in store. I just don't see him as that top tier guy. I just never have. So maybe there is a little bit of stubbornness in there. I think he's just been a really good but not great shortstop. But that's just me.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. Trey Turner is at number four, like we mentioned earlier. He struggled initially in Philly, mm-hmm. and then they clapped for a player for once instead of booing one, and he got better.
Literally boosted his ego. Yep.
Yeah. So he finished the year with decent numbers because it wasn't looking good. It was actually looking real bad for a while. Mm-hmm. So
he salvaged his season. He's definitely
salvaged it, and he did well in the playoffs. And then we got second year bump coming again, and you know that confidence boost, that momentum heading into the offseason, you might see a big season from Trey Turner. And he's a Philly, so I hate it, but I'm excited about it. I love Trey Turner. So
yeah, this is the one.
It's kind of annoying, but like, I think he'll be pretty good.
Is the one I will hitch my wagon to. Like I fully expect the 2023 Trey Turner to be like the worst year out of his like 10-year prime. Like without a doubt.
Yeah.
I fully expect at least a mid 800s OPS, like back to the 300 hitter we've known for basically his entire career. I'm sure the stolen bases will stay about the same because obviously the rules are a little bit more lax, but he's getting a little bit older. He's still going to steal some bases. The power has gotten better with time. I think he is so freaking good, and I'm just going to chalk this up to new situation, got to get settled, and the second year bump is really going to, I guess, like have another champion, so to speak, of like, hey, just grin and bear that first year. The second year will be worth it, and I think we're in store for that with Trey Turner. Like, I am buying as much Trey Turner stock as humanly possible right now. I'm a big Trey Turner fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth noting he came in first last year on our list, so
he did.
Obviously, he's that kind of guy. He can get back into that top three. He's that dude. He can get back in that top three with a big season. I definitely agree. And then at number five, we have Mr. Xander Bogaerts, who had another Xander Bogaerts-esque season. He just was really solid. Again, he does it every year, and he did it for a new team. And I can't see him really doing much different. He's kind of a guy where I don't know if his ceiling is like super high, but you don't need it because he's going to put up 4F4 every year. And like, are you going to not take that? No, you're going to take that. So he was really good, and he actually finished the year strong as well, because he had a little slump in the middle of the year, got it going into the offseason, good momentum, second year guy again on his free agent contract. And his defense has improved, so that's big time. That's going to keep him as a shortstop for longer, so that they'll get more value out of that contract because of that. But yeah, no, Bogaerts at five is totally fine with me.
Yeah, that's kind of where I had him. I had him six, so just slightly below. There's another guy I will talk about here where did I have him at three? I mixed up our rankings. Anyways, I had him about the same. I'm not as high on Bogaerts as Trey Turner, but I fully expect a second year bump. So it's kind of just like a wait and see for me. I'm not going to overreact to what was, I think, in a lot of people's minds, kind of a disappointing year one in San Diego. I mean, they're blowing it up, right? They basically got rid of the entire pitching staff, traded Juan Soto. And I think in large part because their plan wasn't working. Machado was fine. Tatis was great, albeit like a little off the field stuff. And Bogaerts kind of disappointed. So it's wait and see for me with Bogaerts, but I'm not panicking just yet.
Yeah. And then the final numbers ended up okay. He got hot at right at the end. So it looks a little skewed.
Salvaged his season.
Yeah. You know, it salvaged
like
season.
Turner did.
Yeah, he did. He should be good going forward, I think.
Yeah. All right. Let's rattle off 6 through 10 as we wrap up this episode. Number six, we have Bo Bichette. Number seven, Bobby Witt Jr. Number eight, J.P. Crawford. Number nine, Carlos Correa. and number 10, Willie Adames. I do want to just little editorial note that we consider Gunnar Henderson a third baseman. So I imagine both.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're doing yet, but.
Right. So for now, we will keep him at third base until there's more of an official position change. So that's why you don't see Gunnar on a shortstop list. But for me, it's kind of easy when I'm looking at 6 through 10. There's arrow up and there's arrow down. Bo Bichette, Bobby Witt, arrow definitely pointing up. JP Crawford, arrow pointing up, but I want to see more of it, a little bit more consistency as opposed to right now what is a one-year wonder. And then Carlos Correa is hanging on through name recognition alone.
Yeah, essentially, because he
if was... you threw out, if he had never made a postseason in his life, he would not be anywhere close to like the top 20 right now. So I'm trying to give a little bit of benefit of the doubt, but like we need to see something that Carlos Correa is that player that earned, you know, $300 million contracts from three different teams.
Yeah. And more importantly, that he's healthy.
Yeah. And same thing with Willie Adames. Like I still am a Willie Adames fan, but he struggled last year. So it's kind of figuring out who the real Willie Adames is. And is he going to be replaced by some of these younger guys? You know, obviously, first name that comes to mind, and obviously he needs to really improve, but like Ellie De La Cruz or O'Neal Cruz now that he's healthy, or like some of these, you know, young guys that are really up and coming, like, are they going to pass Willie Adames and Carlos Correa? Like right now, I would say yes, just based on the recent trends, but guys like Bo Bichette, Bobby Witt, I am perfectly fine with. I think the top five is like really tough to crack, but they would certainly be the first two I would bet on to do so, especially Bobby Witt.
Yeah.
And then JP Crawford, shout out to Ryan at We Are All Shaq on Twitter. He compared CJ Abrams to JP Crawford at the start of last year, and now it's looking like a great comp. So I'm hoping CJ Abrams follows that JP Crawford track and kind of like really steps up his game. So yeah, I'm cool with JP Crawford right now as well.
Yeah, no, I think, the guy that's most likely, you were right, Bobby Witt is the most likely to crack this top five because he had a ridiculous season last year.
He was exceptional.
It's just, is he going to do it again? If he does it, if he does that again, firmly in the top five, maybe even in the top three.
He made Team USA as a 22-year-old.
Yeah, he was unbelievable last year. So he's definitely on the come up. JP Crawford is interesting because he had a really, really good hitting season. And it wasn't, he didn't do that much different. The one thing he changed was that he started to pull the baseball. So
shocker how that's a theme for success.
Yeah. If you look at his Savant chart from last year compared to his previous years, you're going to notice right away that he was aiming for the pull side. Every homer he hit was a pull side homer. All 19 of them were pull side homers. So he also continues that
a lot more.
Yes, his plate discipline is his best attribute. He doesn't have that much raw power, but if he can continue to keep pulling the ball in the air like he did last year, he'll be able to overperform his expected stats. But he has to continue to do that. Judging by his chart, though, he looked like he got used to doing it pretty quickly and had an amazing season. He's probably one of the more interesting guys on our list.
Yeah,
this episode, just to see where he goes.
Yep. Absolutely. And then just a quick shout out to I don't mean to overlook Bo Bichette. I think Bo Bichette is exceptional as well.
Yeah, great consistency. That's the big thing with him.
It's just for Bo Bichette, and I think Vladdy and some of the other guys kind of fall into this category too. It's like, all right, let's make sure you are who you are outside of that minor league park in Florida, you know? So I think one more year at Bo Bichette will kind of really solidify him as one of the game's best. So even though he comes in at six, it doesn't mean he's like a tier below guys like Turner or Bogarts. But just a quick honorable mention as we wrap up, CJ Abrams, you had him at 10 and I absolutely love that. And, I couldn't put him there cause I think there's that consistency factor, but if we're just using the second half of 2023, CJ Abrams is like top five for me,
which I am. As far as I'm concerned, before he started hitting leadoff, doesn't count. So,
exactly. Yeah,
I mean, we're going to obviously talk about CJ a ton this year because we're next base channel and we love him. So we will definitely be talking about him. But man, if that second half is any indication of what's to come,
even if it's just close.
I mean, like, he doesn't. Yeah, I mean,
defensively too, he was so much better in second.
He was
half.
Better in every single aspect. It's not like he was a different player. That's why I don't even consider the point in time when he was hitting ninth. Ninth, he was hitting ninth. Yeah. Okay, let's stop before I get mad.
Yeah, it's a Davey Martinez special, but yeah, if he can.
They let him cook and he cooked. Wow.
Right. If he can go to that JP Crawford school of plate discipline and increase his walks and just keep his power the same. I don't need you to hit 30 home runs. I just need you to walk a little bit more.
Yeah. Get on base and steal those bases.
stay around the 20 number. That's perfectly fine. Just walk a little bit more, have a little bit more plate discipline, be a little bit more selective at the pitches you swing at, and your numbers are going to skyrocket. Mm-hmm. I truly believe he is on the way up. All in on CJ Abrams.
Yeah, and his ceiling is so high with his power speed combo. It's
an athletic freak.
It's insane. So if he reaches 70% of that ceiling, he's probably an all-star caliber player. So
he's also stealing 70 bags next year.
But yeah, I you know what, 60, 70, maybe 80. I because his pace in the second half. Yeah, I mean we know y'all know that we love him so.
Yeah, we'll wrap it there. All right. We appreciate guys listening. I know it was a lot for one episode. We just wanted to make sure we were staying on track because we're going to knock through these rankings and then dive into kind of the division preview, the season preview, all the great stuff that leads up to obviously opening day. We'll touch on some spring training, some free agency, like recap and wind down as the last couple big name free agents sign. And some of the news that's going around baseball, but we appreciate listening. Next episode will be ranking third baseman, which is a good one as well. So be sure to follow us in the meantime. You can catch us on Twitter. I'm still calling it Twitter. I don't care. At the Coach Moose, at Reverse, 2 R's, 2 S's, and the show at District BSB. Be sure to check us out on TikTok at District Baseball, all spelled out. Great channel, lots of good content. And of course, subscribe to us on YouTube. That's where we're mainly doing this show. So if you're listening on the audio forms, be sure to check us out on YouTube. And if you're watching on YouTube, we appreciate you. Just make sure you are subscribed as well, so that way you get all the latest episodes and shorts as well. Trey, my friend, I appreciate you doing this, and we'll catch you next time.
See ya.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.